Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, please, in your Bibles tonight. Now, before I ever get to the message tonight, I'm going to have to read several statements that I've written down concerning this text. And it may not be any more than just kind of a little basic teaching lesson tonight. We'll have to see how the Lord leads. But I think that some of the things I'll say will be quite valuable to some of you. And I hope you'll lay them to heart and God will help you with this particular passage of Scripture, okay? Hebrews chapter number 6, and when you find that, let's stand together and we'll read the Scriptures together tonight. Hebrews chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now let's pray together tonight and ask God for His divine sanction upon the reading of His Word and His power and blessings upon the preacher tonight as I try to preach from this very difficult passage of Scripture to your hearts. Our Father, as we bow, Lord, as we bow tonight in your presence, thanking you for the good grace of God that's ours in Christ, we're reminded again, Lord, of the precious blood that you shed and the life that you gave that old sinners might know God. And Lord, I'm reminded again tonight the fact that I'm just clay. I'm just a human. And Lord, I need divine sanction tonight and I need God's divine help and power. I pray that you'll help me. Lord, that you feed my heart and soul and bless me that I might be a blessing to these that are gathered here. Lord, I ask you tonight to search hearts and try the range of people and Lord, even out in the radio land, if there's someone there or someone here, they've never put their faith and trust in Thee. May they tonight, Father, understand old-time conviction, experience it, repent, and turn to God that they might be pulled from the fire. Have your divine will and way in every heart and every life, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I don't know how many times the Lord will let me preach through this particular passage, church, or to teach through it, ever how He leads, but I do feel like that I'll probably use it more than just in the service tonight. I believe, if you remember, I preached from it some time ago using chapter 5 and verses beginning in verse number 11 down through verse number chapter 6 and verse number 3. And I preached on maturity in the life of a child of God. But I want to pick back up on it tonight and do my best to preach from it one more time and try to just simply lay a foundation that I believe might be a blessing to some of you that are here tonight. Now, I don't believe I've got to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, that the passage has been, this particular portion of Scripture, has been a center of controversy and has posed great difficulty in its interpretation since God inspired it and put it in the Word of God. I mean, there are those that stumble over the truth that we find in this particular passage of the Word of God. And there's been great controversy over it. I mean, there's been arguments over it. There's been divisions over it. And by the way, let me say this before I get too far along. I want to preach tonight on this thought, if God will let me. Who are you running with? Or who's your running buddies? Who you keeping company with? Who you spending time with? And our key verse is in verse number 9, where Paul said, "Beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." And so I want to preach on that thought tonight. Who are you running with? And use this entire passage of Scripture to bring my thought. Now, the problem that I was speaking about a minute ago, for many, presents itself in verses 4, 5, and 6. And it focuses on the question, who is Paul writing to? When Paul made the statement that it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and then have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and tasted of the good word of God to come, or the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. Now, to correctly and rightly divide this passage of Scripture, you're going to have to determine in your heart and in your mind who it is that Paul is writing to when he made that particular statement. Let me just give you some of the interpretations that are said. Some say that these people are Christians who have drifted into sin and went back into the ways of the world, and consequently they lost their salvation and have died and went to hell, or are going to die and eventually go to hell. But church, you got to compare Scripture with Scripture to rightly divide the Word of God. Now, a man doesn't have to go any further than John 3:16 to prove that theory of interpretation to be wrong. I'm glad that God loved the world and gave His only begotten Son for it, and that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal and everlasting life. We could go to John chapter number 10, a verse that Brother Jerry quoted a while ago about my sheep hearing my voice and they follow me. And he said, "I know them and they know me. No man will pluck them out of my hand nor my Father's hand." We wouldn't have to go any farther than that tonight to disprove the theory that this is speaking to individuals that have lost their salvation. I want to say to you tonight, church, that I have been born again by the grace of God. I am a child of Almighty God. I wasn't adopted into the family. I was born into the family. I'm God's youngins. I've got godly rights. I've got divine rights. Amen. God is my heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus is my Savior. Amen. And my Lord and my soon coming King. And I'm not about to lose something I never had to begin with. Salvation is of the Lord. I'm glad I'm sealed into the day of redemption, having been born again from above, bathed in the blood of the Son of God. And I'm glad tonight that I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to glory, and there's nothing the devil nor the world can do about it. So I don't believe that theory. But there are those that do. And they'd argue with you till they're blue in the face that a man can be saved and then lost. I want to ask you something tonight. Can you explain to me how one of these children in this room, or even yourself, could enter the second time into its mother's womb and be born? I'm telling you, that's exactly where Nicodemus stumbled. He had the idea that the second birth, friend, was like a physical birth, and it is, but he missed the spiritual part of it. We have had a physical birth, and we are what we are and who we are by the grace of God. You cannot change who you are or what you are. You need to learn to live with what God's made you by the grace of God. And in the same order, I've been born again from above. I am, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Now, hallelujah. My throat, I must have a problem with it, but it'll get ironed out in a little bit. Hey, God will stretch them vocal cords back out in a minute. Amen. But then there's still others now that believe that Paul, to be writing to Christians, and that the word impossible in verse number 4 is a stroke of assurance to those that have trusted Christ that they need never worry about becoming an apostate. I want to say to you, if you're truly saved, you really don't have to worry about being an apostate. You're not going to fall away. I'll assure you it is impossible for a truly born-again child of God to fall away. Hey, but he didn't stop there. He said, if they shall fall away, the impossibility is not on falling away, but it's renewing them again unto repentance. That's where the impossibility is at. Brother, you cannot renew an apostate to repentance. I said this and before and I'll say it again. I'll probably get a telephone call tonight and a slap in the face and a spit in the face. But I'm telling you that Billy Graham is an apostate. He had never known God. He don't know God. He'll never know God. He's drifted from the truth and he's going to die and go to hell unless God divinely intervenes. And according to the scripture, I don't believe he will. I don't believe God will divinely intervene. No, sir. Now, there is yet one other interpretation. I'm trying to hurry on this. To which I hold to. I believe this is the truth of this interpretation. That these people in verses 4, 5, and 6 are unbelievers who have professed Christ. They played the part of a Christian. And because they had no root, they withered up and drifted away from God. If you please, I do believe that they are those in Matthew 13 that received the seed in stony places and amongst thorns. Brother, there's a crowd of people like that mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with Israel that have received the Word of God with all readiness of mind. I mean, they received it with joy. They rejoiced in Christ. They rejoiced in forgiven sin. They rejoiced in thinking that they had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they were just full of joy. But I'm telling you, friend, by and by, when because of the Word of God, they became offended and they drifted away because they had no root within them. Amen. That's right. Stony ground and thorny places. And those on stony ground had no depth. And those in stony places, the deceitfulness of this world and the cares of riches choked out the Word of God, and they drifted right back into apostasy right where they were when God found them. Somebody said, were they ever saved? No. Amen. I'm telling you, honey, there's multitudes that have joined the church, went into the baptistry, signed a little card, sat on the pew, sang in the choir. They, some of them, have even preached the Word of God, but they've never been transformed by the grace of God. Amen. Now, I'll be labeled a cult for preaching that. But I'm telling you, that's a fact. That's a Bible fact. Amen. I know that's right. That's right. Now, notice something else. That according to verse number 6, they that fall away, they become hopeless and without the slightest possibility of being renewed to Christ. The Bible said, for it is impossible. It is impossible. And then it says in verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? Come on, let's right up here and listen. I'm going to tell you how it is. Because God has already done everything that God can possibly do to show them the grace of God and to reveal to them the love of God and to bring them out of sin. And if a man rejects that, there's no more hope for that man in this world. Unless Jesus would come back and crucify himself all over again, and he ain't going to do it. That's right. Hallelujah to God. He entered in one time. Heaven obtained eternal redemption for us. He come a babe in the manger, lived 33 and a half years of sinless life, died on an old rugged cross, buried in a Sadducee's grave. 3 days later, got up out of it, appeared unto his disciples, showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, ascended back to God, and thanks be unto God, he's a coming again. Now, he ain't going to do nothing else. There's nothing else he can do. You take a man that's fell under old-time conviction. You take a man that's fell under Holy Ghost preaching. Heard the Word of God. That's right. Seen the Word of God manifest and the blessings of God manifest. Turn his back on the gospel, on the grace of God, and go back to his old life. There's no hope. Somebody said, "Preacher, that labels my family. I'm sorry. I am sorry. That's the Bible. I didn't write the Bible. God did." Oh, how sad that is to know. And by the way, no wonder Paul gave us a warning right here. Oh, he said, "Hey, therefore, laying apart all that stuff, go on unto perfection." Hey, don't look behind you. Go on if you look back. There's no hope. You're like Lot's wife. You'll wind up a pillar of salt if you look back on God. There ain't but one way in the army of God. Brother, that's forward. I hope you're getting something. That's right. Now, I want to show you something, one way I've arrived at this. Hear me well. I want you to notice something in these verses, okay? That'll nail this thing down. Notice in verses, let's say, 4 and verse number 6. Notice the third person pronoun that is used. Hey, first of all, let's look at verse number 3. I'm going to teach you something. Hey, how many of y'all heard Oliver Green tonight? It's the best thing I ever heard him say since I've heard him preach. Hey, some things he says I can't agree with, like on tithing, the church and all that. But he said something good tonight. He said that Jesus said, "My word are spirit and their truth." He didn't say my verses in the Bible. Buddy, you better learn to study words in the Bible. It's God's Word. I'm telling you that the divisions in the chapters and the verses are man-made. They're not of God. You better learn to study Word. Notice in verse number 3, Paul said, "And this will..." What's that little old word say? "We do. Therefore, let us go on. Let us, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection." The rest of that is a non-essential clause. Paul said, "Let us go on unto perfection, and this will we do, if God permit." Notice he uses that word "we." But I want you to notice verse number 4. "For it is impossible for those." He didn't say us. He didn't say me. He said those. Speaking of a third person pronoun. He's not speaking to himself. He's not talking about those that he's writing to. He said those. Others. Those others. Somebody said, "How do you know he's speaking to others?" Because in our text verse, he said, "I am persuaded better things than these of you, brethren." Amen. Get a hold of that, church. Amen. Get a hold of that. He said, "Those who were once enlightened." And then in verse number 6, "If they shall fall away." And then again, to renew them again under repentance. seeing they crucify to themselves. Hey, third person church. Another crowd of people all together. Paul said, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about that crowd that's went away on God. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you went away? In John chapter number 6, Jesus gave his address on the bread of life. And that crowd, the Bible said, they were offended, and many of his disciples went away. And Jesus looked at his own and said, will ye also go away? Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Let me ask you something tonight. You that struggle with your salvation, doubt that God's called you, doubt you've ever been to Calvary, have you went away? Are you still hanging in there? Are you still sitting on the pew, listening to the Word of God and rejoicing in Christ Jesus? Then you're not in that crowd. You get a hold of that. But it'll make you shout. Huh? Those and they and themselves. Paul never says we. Paul didn't say it's impossible for us. He said those. Now, that's right. That's right. He said, Paul said though, he said, certainly he is not writing to those who possess the things that accompany salvation. That's what I'm preaching on in just a minute. Who you're running with? Do you possess those things that accompany salvation? If you do, nail her down. Quit hobnobbing, hem-hawing, up and down, and put your roots down, bless God, in the soil of the Word of God, and let your spiritual man grow up in God and be strong in your faith toward Him. Hallelujah, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. Now I want you to notice something else that arrived at this. Notice verses 7 and 8. They speak of two classes of people. In verse number 7, he says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But notice now in verse number 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Get a hold of that. Do you hear what Paul said? He said, who's rejected and is nigh unto cursing. They're not cursed yet, they're nigh unto cursing. Oh my God, I didn't see that till I read the text a while ago. Oh, Brother Paul said they ain't cursed yet, but hey, they're nigh unto cursing. But once the curse falls, there's nothing left but to burn them. I'm telling you, he is referring to a spiritual man and a lost man. That spiritual man drinks in the rain that falls upon him, the goodness of the Word of God. But that lost man bears nothing but thorns that rise and is rejected of God. Now, I don't want to throw this at you right now. Something I just laid on my heart. I may have to read here and see where I'm at. Okay. Yeah. I'll mention something that just come to my mind in a minute, I hope. Notice now in verses 4 and 5 that these people, notice that there are five great privileges and advantages these people enjoyed. Five of them. It says there that they were enlightened. It says they tasted of the heavenly gift. They were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They have tasted of the good Word of God and of the powers to come. Five privileges, five advantages that they have. Hey, look here. He's not referring to heathen in Africa that's never heard the Word of God. He's probably talking about that crowd out here in the liberal church that's heard the claims of Christ. And Jesus has been evidently set forth, crucified among them, but they have bowed their neck to the truth of the Word of God. Some of them may at one time sit under straight preaching. Amen. Bowed their neck and found somebody that tickled their ears a little bit for them. So they could feel comfortable living in their sin. Amen. That's why they think I'm a cult. That's right. That's why they think Brother Hall's a cop, bless God, because I preach that men and women ought to live right and be clean in their living. Amen. I'm going to tell you why folks have left this church. Because they love their sin more than they love God. That's why. Yes! You can puff up to that if you want to. Your puffing up don't worry me a bit. Hey, God, I know who's called me to preach. Amen. Hallelujah to God. That's right. Hey, notice now these five. And by the way, notice the number of five of these privileges. Five is the number of grace. Paul saying, God showed them grace. God privileged them. Hey, just like Benny said. Just like Benny said, what a privilege we've got in America to sit on the church pews, have a copy of the King James Bible, the Word of God, hear an old preacher get up, red-faced, slobbering at the mouth, tell everybody how Jesus loved them. Amen. That God took their stripes upon Him, and by His stripes we've been healed of all of our diseases. Glory to God. I tell you, what a glorious privilege and what an advantage. What about them? There's 18,000 Russians in that prison that's never had a copy of the Bible. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. The fires of hell be hot on the crowd that's heard and rejected. It'd be better for them to never have heard than to have heard and rejected the gospel of the grace of God. That's right. I know that I'm right because God in the holy place this morning told me I was. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish everybody would come on back to church now here in a little while. We are trying to preach tonight now. Hey, five being the number of grace reveals a great length that the Lord went to, striving with and laboring to bring them to a place of salvation. Hey, you know what He said in Genesis chapter number 6? For my spirit shall not always strive with man. Hey, look here. How many folks do you know that God has struggled with? And the Word of God has struggled in their breast, opposing the works of the devil. And the Word of God has fought and wrestled and struggled. And God's Holy Ghost has strived and labored and worked and tried to save men. But them in their sinfulness have turned their back and despised the grace of God. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in Hebrews. Said they've trampled under their feet the hallowed blood of the Son of God. May God help us tonight. Yes. Now, somebody said, but Brother Hall, what about all them five things? Surely that's talking about saved folk. Oh, no. No. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. Just bear with me. Hey, let's look at these five things. That, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. You know what enlightenment is? Enlightenment is simply to be instructed in the doctrine of the gospel, so as to have a clear apprehension of it. There is not a person in this building tonight that does not have a clear apprehension of the gospel. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I don't know how to be saved. Don't tell yourself that lie. It's by grace, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm telling you, it's repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by the waters of the baptismal pool. It's not by joining the church. It's not by reformation, doing good, being a do-gooder. But it's by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's all enlightenment is. It's being instructed in the proper manner of the way of God to come to Him and be saved. That's enlightenment. Enlightenment is just like light. Hey, somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, they people that's lost has never had light. You better read John 3. When Jesus said, let's just turn over right quick. I'll just read it and tell you exactly what He says, okay? I believe it's John chapter number 3 I'm looking for. Yeah. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hey, it's not that a lost man cannot come to that light. He won't come to it. He's a sinner, and his heart is black as dirt, black as coal, blacker than 365 foot down, Brother Jerry. You know how black it was in that pit, but hallelujah, when the light shined in your heart, you come to the light and got born again. Then you're a sinner, a sinner can reject that light and reject that enlightenment. He can see it and not come to it, because his stinking heart is wicked before God. Amen. He's got no desires to be right. Amen. That's right. Hey, it's enlightenment all right, and there's an instructed in the way, but it falls short of the spiritual enlightenment that transforms the spirit of man. Falls short of it. Oh, he's enlightened, but he just fell too short. One day too late, like Brother Hall's preached. Enlightened. Now here comes the one most people, I've had preachers argue with me and have tasted. And I've heard, I had them to argue with me that said, hey, that's the same word where it said, and Jesus tasted death for every man. Oh, yes, it is. But there's just one thing about that. Jesus not only tasted it, he went on and died. Now hear me well, just bear with me. Hey, have tasted. Hey, to have a personal experience of, in contrast to just a mere report. Hey, and by the way, tasting, church, does not include eating, digesting, or turning into nourishment that which is already tasted. Somebody said, Brother Hall, did you have any text that right in her text, and I didn't see it till tonight? For the earth which drinketh, yes, there's a whole lot of difference in drinking and tasting. Yes, Matthew chapter number 27. They gave Jesus vinegar to drink, and he tasted it, but he would not drink it. He spit it out. I'm telling you what a lot of folks have done. They've tasted of the good word of God. They've tasted of the powers of the world to come, but they spit her out. That's right, just like the two thieves on the cross. Both of them tasted, and one of them said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And the other one spit her out. Amen. Look here. You know what Jesus said in John chapter number 6 on the discourse of the bread of life? He said, don't just taste me, boys. He said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood down the hatch. Do you know the difference there? Is it a person that drinks that blood and eats that flesh, which is a type of the Son of God, a man that is a partaker of that, or a woman, they get nourishment from it. They get spiritual strength. They can overcome the world. They can overcome sin. They can live a godly life. Amen. They can overcome temptation, buddy. They don't have to dip snuff, watch television, or watch the stinking Wildcats play ball. Somebody said they're on television this week, and they may be in hell next week. That's right. One heartbeat out of heaven or hell. Buddy, that's the difference in tasting and eating and drinking. You can taste your boys and die and go to hell. You better believe you can. They were enlightened. They tasted. Hey, note that this tasting is a contrast from eating. I already mentioned that, the bread of life, Jesus on the cross. He tasted, but he would not drink. Then it said partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hey, this simply means they were companions, referring to what is external, rather than that is internal. Amen. Somebody said, well, how could they have been partakers of the Holy Ghost? Well, they sat right in our church service. Amen. They sang the same songs you have. Amen. They've listened to the same preaching you've listened to. Amen. They've even prayed. They've even heard us pray. They've been partakers of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, don't nobody leave me now. Don't nobody leave me. They've been partakers of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I'm trying to get through this as fast as I can. My time's running out and I'm tired and my throat's wore out. But I'm telling you, And I think some of y'all's about wore out. A whole lot of them out there is about wore out too. That's right. I'm telling you, people don't like to hear this kind of preaching. But I'm telling you, if it'll make you search your heart. I don't want you sitting on this church pew and nine and going to hell. Amen. Yes, sir. Notice it said, and tasted of the good word of God. Now look here. You know what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15, 16? He said, I found the good word of God and I ate it. He didn't taste it, he ate it. Like in the book of Revelation, that little old book. John ate it. It was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly. That's the word of God. You got to eat it. That's what receiving it means. That's what the preaching on Sunday night, receiving the word of God, eating the word of God, digesting it, getting nourishment from it, growing strength from it. How long do you think you would last if you never ate? I'm going to tell you what, Brother Hall gets a quick trembles after about 30 minutes. Son, I like chicken. Hallelujah to God. And baked potatoes too, and fried potatoes. Beans and cornbread. And I got some pintos at the house, and I'm going to eat about 5 bowls of them just as soon as I get to the house tonight. Peel an onion head, praise God, and a glass of sweet buttermilk. You can't beat it. I mean, I don't like to go long without eating. I got to have some nourishment. Hey, and a spiritual man can't go long without nourishment. He'll take her in. He'll break. Hey, look here. And the blessing in verse number 7 is pronounced upon those that break her in. That's right. Hey, notice now. Notice, though they enjoyed the blessings and advantages of the natural flow from the promises of God. They did. These people enjoy. There's a natural flow. Look here, let me give you an illustration. Remember when Nehemiah came back from the captivity? You remember who else come back with him? Not everybody that come back, church, was a lover of God. Some of that crowd come back, fought against Nehemiah. Tried to keep him, tried to hinder him from rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Building the city. But I'm going to tell you what. They lived in the land and they shared the blessings that Nehemiah shared in. And I'm telling you, these people has sat on the church pews of churches, lost. Just been a partaker of God's divine love. Amen. And the blessings from God's promises to His people have flowed over. Oh, I've seen them just set in their hearts, just break and cry. Big crocodile tears. Oh, I'm so glad God's here. Oh, and hey, and they getting a little something, but it ain't helped them. Lost. Who's in, who is nigh unto cursing, and their end is to be burned.
Amen.
That's right. And then they tasted of the powers of the world to come. Son, I'm telling you, that's a rough one to get. Just simply means, though, that they had been partakers of the glorious manifestations of the Spirit of God down at the church house. Hey, but old Brother Paul said in verse number 9, but beloved. But, beloved, he didn't say, I think. He said, I'm persuaded of better things than these from you. Some of y'all sat out there, and you've got more doubts about your salvation than I have. Now, I want everybody to listen to Brother Hall carefully. Now, I really believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost will lay people in the church on the pastor's heart that's truly lost that he might pray for them. And some of y'all is worried into a frenzy about being saved. And God has never laid you on my heart to pray for you to be saved. Now, I didn't say all of you. I said some of you. But the ones that worries the most, I ain't a bit worried about. God has never troubled me about your soul being right with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not one time. Hallelujah to God. But what are those things? Paul said, that accompany. He said, I'm persuaded. Better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. Paul said, Paul, in other words, said, who you running with?
Run.
What's your running buddies?
Yeah.
That's right. If all you got's enlightenment, all you have been a partaker, have you just got a little taste? Or have you swallowed her down and chewed it around? You got a little nourishment out of it.
Yeah.
Learn to enjoy it. Somebody said, what are those things? And this has just got three things, 3 points under each thing. And I'm just going to mention them. I don't even know what time it is, and we're going to the house. I'll run through them real quick. I will say number one. The number one thing that accompanies salvation, and you better get this, is forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Huh? forgiveness of sin. Listen, what, and I've read this verse so many times, I want to read it to you again in Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
I looked that word up in Strong's today. You know what forgiveness means? It means freedom. Woo! Boy, I was sitting in that chair today and I read that and wrote that thing down. Freedom. You know what? Hey, we are teaching now. Do you know what Paul said in Romans in chapter 3 and verse number 25? I'm talking about free from the sins of the past. Some of y'all let your past haunt you to death. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. He put her under the blood. Forget about it and go. God knows. Listen what He said. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Freedom from the past. Woo! I'm free from the guilt that I carry. Huh? Free from the guilt of my past. Ain't that right? Amen. Hallelujah to God. Sin's past. God set Him, our Lord, to be a propitiation through faith for sins in the past. They're gone. Boy, God showed me something on this day, and I'm going to get to it in a minute. And then for freedom from sins for the present. John said in 1 John 1:9 through 2:2, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, my little children, I write these things unto you, that ye sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's present sins. Now I want everybody to look right up here at me. Miss Hall, on this next point, on future sins. Somebody said, what about my sins on down the road? I've heard, and I hope they're listening, I've heard some of my dear Armenian friends say, yep, Brother Hall, what about sins on down the road? What if you sin on down the road? Hey, what if you sin on down the road? For if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse. I just said present. Get a hold of what I'm getting ready to tell you. Future sin. Miss Hall was back in that washroom today, and I broke out with a holy laughter. She come out in the room, and I just sat there and laughed and cried and wept and cried. And she said, are you going to make it? I said, I believe I am. Yeah. I know I is. Now listen to me carefully now. I'm talking about sins of future. Hey, I find nothing, nowhere in the Bible to cover my future sins. God gives us nothing to cover them, church. Then I wrote this down. Why? My past is forgotten. I get this now. Here's what I was laughing about. And I live in the present. I am an eternal being.
Amen.
And eternal beings never live in the past, and they never live in the future. They always live in the present.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that?
Amen.
That's what gave me the good holy giggles this morning. Down yonder in my little prayer closet in that easy chair. Hey, when God saved you, He took care of the past.
Right.
And confession takes care of the present. And we're always in the present.
Amen.
We're an eternal being just like God is, church.
Amen.
And He doesn't live in the future. And He doesn't live in the past. He just lives in the present tense all the time. Therefore, my sins are taken care of.
Yes.
Ah! Y'all get it? Can you squeeze on to it a little bit? Isn't that good? That accompanies salvation. Now, for all my Armenian friends, I label that as security in God. Saved! Gloriously saved! Born in into the eternal family of God. Somebody said, oh, you'll die someday. Oh, no. You, not knowing the power of God, nor the scriptures, do greatly err. For though I be dead, yet shall I live. And because I'm a living, I'll never die. Believest thou this? Hallelujah. That's company. Faith to overcome. Faith to overcome our dilemmas. When old Elijah went down to that brook Cherith, and he sat down by that brook and he said unto God, I'm out here all by myself. I wonder how in this world, what a dilemma. If I leave here, Ahab will kill me. And if I sit here, there ain't no rain. That little old brook's going to dry up. And besides, if the brook dries up, he said, I ain't got anything to eat. And about that time, he looked up and he heard something. Now imagine Elijah said, what on earth is that stupid raven doing? Under God. Where did he get that pork chop, eh? Yeah. Hallelujah. He must have. Where did he get that T-bone? He must have been to Rhines, boys. He had to go by Rhines.
Yeah.
I tell you, I like what old brother Hanley Melby said about that.
Yeah.
Said that raven flew into Ahab's house, buddy, right at one of his feasts. Said he reached out with one paw and laid hold of a big T-bone steak. And a lion, and Ahab said, hey, what are you doing with my steak? And he reached out with the other one and grabbed a sweet roll and said, I got a prophet of God that's hungry. I'm telling you that God, faith, will overcome your dilemmas. Stay with God, boys. Don't let that crowd out there run you away from God. Don't let them deprive you of your joy and your victory, buddy. Somebody said, it's hard living in their presence. Oh, yeah! But son, one day we'll live in His presence, glory to God. Yes, we're going to lift off, hallelujah. Get in the presence of God. Faith will overcome your dilemmas. Faith will overcome your dangers. Woo! Woo! I'm just going to... Faith will overcome them dangers, buddy. Old Elijah walked up on that mountain with the prophets of Baal. Hallelujah to God. Don't you? Somebody said, well, he wasn't afraid. Don't you fool yourself. One man against, I believe, 850 if we rightly divide it. Huh? You know there's a little fear there. There's another time old Elijah crawled up on a rock. That guy with the 50 come down and said, hey, man of God! Said the king said, come down off of that rock. He said, if I'll be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and consume you. Fire come down and killed him. Every one of them. Old Ahab sent out another crowd, captain of 50. Hey, man of God, come down off of that mountain. The king has said so. If I'll be a man of God, he said, let fire come down out of heaven and consume me. Fire come down and consume him. You know what the third guy done? He said, oh, thou man of God. He said, please show mercy on me. He said, you done killed 100 men there, captain. He said, I don't want to die the way they did. Have mercy. Oh, God said, go on with them. Ahab, everything will be all. Are you here? I mean, Elijah, everything. Come on, I said, God, overcome your dangers in your life, buddy. Hallelujah to God. Woo! I want to say faith will overcome your discouragement. You encourage yourself in God.
Amen.
Faith will overcome your discouragements. Amen. You just dig in, bless God. Do you think it's been easy on Brother Mark? I'll tell you what, and I've never said this. I've never breathed a word of it. I've never said nothing to him. But I remember one night when I was preaching, and I said something about folks being faithful in the house of God. And I wasn't even thinking of Mark and Kim because they live 50-some miles from here. I wasn't even thinking of them a bit more than nothing. And all they ever come was on Sundays and sometimes just Sunday morning, very seldom Sunday night, never on midweek service. And I noticed after saying that,
amen.
Am I right or not? They started coming to every service.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Are you here? Hey, are you here? And look here, you're going to tell me it's not a discouragement to them
to leave, to come in from work, drive 50-some miles one way and come to church, drive 50-some miles back and get up the next morning and go, sure it is.
Sure.
Bound to be discouraged. You think the devil, yeah, hey, you hit a deer along the road. He come down here to lay that cement the other day and hit and some idiot passed him in that snow and rain and all that stuff and slid sideways and hooked him in the side of the truck and tore the whole front fender of his truck off. But he ain't missed a lick, buddy. He's still sitting in the house of God.
Right.
You think that ain't discouraging? But he's still here. Buddy, hey, faith will build you better than a Timex. Take a licking, son, and keep on the ticking for God. Amen. That's right. Then I think the third thing that accompanies salvation is felicity of life. You might say, what do you mean? I'm just talking, that big word felicity simply means happiness, blessedness, and blissfulness. I am happy today and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away.
Yeah.
Why are you that way, Brother Hall? For Jesus said, whosoever will may come to Him today.
Yeah.
And you know what makes me happy about that? Whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. Oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Whosoever meaneth me. I'm going to tell you why I'm happy. Because my sins are gone.
Yeah.
God help us, Brother Jerry.
He
will. I am about to die.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
All that happiness, there will be prosperity of the Spirit. Not always prosperity in worldly things. Not always. He may let some of his youngins be like that old beggar in Luke 16 or 17, I mean, and set at the rich man's gate full of sores. He may set others in a castle. God knows what we all need, church, and He just meets it out exactly what we need in our life. He knows what I can handle, what you can, what I can take, what I need, what you need, what He wants to do with all. We're all different. God's going to treat us all a little differently.
Amen.
We just really are. Hey, but we'll prosper. And then we've got that joy because of the presence of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't take nothing wrong. Most folks talking about the Holy Ghost don't even know Him.
Right.
Oh, what a presence. And then because our prayers are answered, what joy. What joy. What felicity. What happiness. What blissfulness. Because we're God's child. Hey, church, listen to me. Things that accompany salvation, I'm persuaded that they accompany you. But not all. I'm afraid there's some need to get saved. But most of you that's worried about being saved, I don't think you got anything to worry about. That sound odd? I believe it's right. God's helped us tonight. Let's stand together.
Amen.